Blog Talk Radio.
In the past, my life has been inundated by those who truly didn't understand the term commitment. The connections would flourish and become entangled by daily life experiences. Quickly, that which seemed so promising turned barren. What has recently appeared before me seems to break all the rules of the past. I find myself waiting to overcome the next obstacle because the connection will be strengthened by the experience. You have created a love within me which was unforeseeable. I've never known love like this. I've never known love like this. My commitment to us is deeper than I ever conceived it could be between a man and a woman. I never dreamed that my belief in the Lord's word would manifest itself in this fashion. I live to put into words what being one with you does to my spirit. I look forward to loving you in a way not known to either of us. Have I ever known love like this? I've never known love like this. I've never known love like this. I have never loved like this before. I refuse to allow it to disappear as those in the past. You are my treasure that I've searched for most of my adult life. It would be crazy to let the daily distractions of living dismantle what I have discovered. I will not look back, but embrace the new love created by our connection. I've never known love like this. I never known love like this. I've never known love like this. Never known love like this.
Welcome, everyone. This is James Deshay. Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I just want to thank you for being out there and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my thoughts with you and be with you now three times a week. We're here three times a week, yes, and I want to be on your schedule, on your calendar, all 3 days. And just remember, I want you to remember and write it down that we're on Tuesdays at 6 o'clock, Thursdays at 6 o'clock, and Saturdays at 8 o'clock. That's all Eastern time. And we want to give you the opportunity to call in and voice your opinion about a host of different topics. And we're going to continue to make sure that our voices are heard because it's time for us all to have an opportunity or a vehicle that we can reach out to, that we can say what it is that's on our minds. And we're going to continue that today. And I just want to say to you, it's kind of hard sometimes to come up with topics when the political atmosphere is the way it is. And it's just difficult for me to stray away from the political atmosphere or the political topics when things are so new. I mean, some of the things that we're going through right now are just incredible. And so I find find myself just having to stay on point because I want all of us to have an opportunity, a voice, to say something about what's going on. I mean, there's incredible things going on right now, and it just seems like every time, every morning, every day, there's something new being said or spoken about Donald Trump and the climate, and we just have to stay on top of this until we see it all the way through. And today is no different. And I just wanted to give an opportunity to you to have an opinion to tell me, you know, what it is and how you view what is going on right now, because this is so new to me. I have never seen a situation where we were trying to select the president of the United States of America, and there were people from all sides that were taking pot shots at primarily one individual, and that one individual could come to the table with so much baggage and still be supported in such a huge manner. I mean, it's just overwhelming to me that Donald Trump, with all the baggage that he has, it has the ability to continue to be supported in the fashion that he's being supported right now. And it's just crazy. I sit here and now that there are people are making comparisons, comparing Donald Trump to Hitler. And now, mind you, I believe he comes with a lot of baggage, but I'm not sure if I would go so far as comparing him to Hitler. And again, you know, I wasn't back in that era, so I don't know the kind of rhetoric Hitler was saying or statements he was making at the time he was running for office. But clearly, Donald Trump has said some things that seem to me, at least, to discount him as the kind of person that I would want running for president. I mean, when you make statements you know, you're going to build a wall because the Mexicans coming in the country are rapists and murderers and thieves, and then as an afterthought, you say, oh, some of them might be okay. Or you say that you want a policy that keeps all Muslims out of the country. You know, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, he has isolated all kinds of individuals in terms of what his opinions are. And so we want to just have a talk about this particular climate that we're in, where we're here looking for another leader to run our country, but we see a lot of individuals who just don't seem like they're ready or prepared to be in leadership because of the way they are running their campaigns. So we just want to have a conversation about what it is you see in this climate, and what role do African Americans play in making sure that we have the best person in place to defend our issues and support the issues that we have. I see we have a few people out there, and we're going to just go straight to the phones so we can have an opportunity to have a good conversation in regards to where we're going in terms of this political climate. I see that we have 3766. Are you out there?
Yes. Hello. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
I'm Regina Williams, calling from Columbia, South Carolina.
Oh, hello, Regina. How you doing?
Hi. How are you?
What is your take on this climate where we have an individual who's being compared to Adolf Hitler, and he still seems to be in the lead in regards to the Republican Party?
Well, my take on this is that it says a lot about the people or the children we are raising and the people in our nation when, despite what they did not agree with for the past 8 years, they would go to this extent to bring him into office, Donald Trump I'm referring to. It really concerns me that they hear the rhetoric, and it's really not rhetoric anymore. They hear what he's saying, And it's so mean-spirited and hateful and unbelievable, but yet they support him. So what is that saying about these people who are supporting him? That really scares me now, because they have a chance to do some of the mean, evil things that he's saying and get away with it.
I think you're right, Regina. I think you are correct in that there is a segment of the population out there who's been closed off, who's been told not to share their opinions, but now feel very comfortable with Donald Trump in making the kind of statements they've been wanting to make for years, but have been kept quiet or at bay. And so we may have some genuine fears related to what it is that Donald Trump is saying and what it is that a lot of Americans, or a segment of America, is listening to and feel comfortable with embracing under his leadership.
And not only do they feel comfortable embracing his leadership, they feel very comfortable doing these things themselves out in public. For instance, the man who pushed the young lady who was at the rally, and he didn't care that people were watching him, and he didn't care that it was a female. He didn't care that it was a lady. He was very mean-spirited. He looked mean. His face was balled up. And he pushed her with a vengeance. So if he did that to one person, imagine what he would, what more like him would do to one person. I'm looking at lynching and Ku Klux Klan-type behavior, Nazi-type behavior, being exposed. But the good thing is they are being exposed, and that takes us out of our comfort zone also as a race of brown people. So now we no longer can be comfortable with where we are, and we have to always be mindful and pay attention to our surroundings and protect each other.
And you're so right, because what it seems like is that under his leadership, you would have even more police officers who've been doing some horrific things feeling comfortable given the green light to continue their racist behavior. You know, and so it's sad that we find ourselves in a situation where we have a leader who seems to be comfortable with yelling out, you know, take his jacket, don't give it to him. I wish I could punch him in the mouth. And, I mean, I have never heard leaders say those kind of things, but at his rallies, he's comfortable with that. He's comfortable with throwing him out of here, get him out of here, you know, and that kind of attitude and those kind of statements. He really feels comfortable with saying that, and that feeds into that segment of America that is filled with hatred and bigotry.
Did you hear him when he told one of the protesters or people, go home to your mama, go back to your mama?
Yeah.
I mean, what type of foolishness is this?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it's unbelievable that you have a presidential candidate who would just come out the mouth with that kind of craziness, that he's not intellectual enough to know that that's not appropriate behavior. And we find ourselves inundated by these kind of people, and Donald Trump does not seem, but he's being attacked from all sides. I've never seen a situation where you have so many of those involved in politics on his side that are ganging up on him, trying to defeat him, but at the same time, he seems to have galvanized this segment that is willing to support him.
Wow.
I mean, to the point where you can make a comparison and say that, you know, you're comparing him to Hitler. Now, what person could possibly win the president of the United States and be compared to Hitler?
Wow.
And it's just above my understanding. We've gone from someone who is as first class as President Barack Obama to getting in the gutter with somebody like Donald Trump. I mean, it's incredible.
So what do you think that we're going to do now about this? Where do we go this in our faces?
Well, I think what most of all has to happen is that as minorities, and when I call out and I call people out, I want to say there has to be a coming together, a meeting of the minds of all of us that will suffer under his leadership. I mean, we have to come together, all minorities, and when I say minorities, I mean African Americans, Hispanic Americans, women, Asians, even, you know, we have to come together and make sure we know that we can't sit back on the sidelines and watch our country go in a different direction than what we've presently been going in. We have to make sure we make people fully understand what our position is and that we don't allow them to get anywhere close to regaining the White House. And we need to take back the Senate and the House. So we just have to be engaged to the point where we stay active throughout the entire period and recognize that Hillary Clinton is the best candidate to support our interests. And until we make sure our voices are heard to that point, and we also have to speak out. I mean, I have not seen a lot of African American leadership speak out against the kind of things that Donald Trump has been saying, the kind of positions he's holding, and so forth. I mean, when it's been clear that he is taking advantage of immigrants on a lot of the different projects that he has had all over the country, and then to say he's going to send all these Hispanics back when he's been taking advantage of their workforce on his own project. So it's just incredible. And how he can take advantage of the little man by, you know, Trump College, and then find out that there are a lot of people who lost money or did not benefit from even going to his school. There's so much ugliness out there related to him as an individual that it's hard to believe that he's in the lead right now.
Well, James, as I said before, it really brings us back to an awareness of, I'm not going to say that we became comfortable, but even for the first time when Barack Obama, President Barack Obama ran for president, then Senator Barack Obama ran for president, we went out in droves to vote. And I do mean drove. We went and we beat the bushes. We pulled the people from under the trees. We got everybody. Then the second time, we did not go out as often. So he did not win with as wide of a measure. That let me know right then that we had become comfortable. We thought we had arrived. And now we're at the point where we don't even see where there's we don't see a black man running. We don't see where there's a reason for us to go out and vote. Nobody's pulling behind Hillary. Nobody's pulling behind Bernie Sanders, not with a vengeance like we did before. And our only saving grace, in my opinion, is that we do have some politicians who know that if they follow up with Donald Trump, they're going to lose their position. So therefore, they're not following up with him, and they are sending out a war cry against him. But what bothers me is that we're not seeing our African-American so-called leaders vocalizing any anti-Trump sentiment. So where are those leaders that we once had to give the African-American or the brown people a sense of hope? Where are the Spanish Hispanic leaders to give the brown people a sense of hope? You know, we've got to start raising our leaders and raising our voices and supporting our those who are out there trying to become leaders or trying to be leaders, and not bashing them and badgering them. It's just like we're just lost in the wilderness.
Well, you're right. It seems that for some reason that the voices of reason on the minority side have been muted. I mean, and when I say minority side, I mean women too. I mean, when women seriously take Donald Trump as a serious candidate, when he said some of the horrific things that he said, that some of the unapologetic things that he said, that it's clear that just because he has his wife and his daughter in prominent positions have nothing to do with what he feels about women in general. And certainly him parading those few African-American women out on stage support him was laughable, but yet he's not been called out about it. And so, you know, when he says things like, I get along with African-Americans, I do good by African. What do you mean you do good by us? What kind of foolishness? You do good by us. I've been good to African. I mean, it's crazy. It's laughable. And so, to me, he needs to be called out, you know, when he makes these crazy kind of statements, when he talks about what he believes are real war heroes. He has no right to talk about what he thinks is a real war hero or not a real war hero when he didn't spend one day in the armed forces. So anybody who went into the service should have his respect because he didn't spend one day. And
well,
to
you
me,
know,
I could care. I was just going to say, I could care less about whether you got shot down or didn't get shot down, if you got captured or didn't get captured. The fact that you went to the service is a reason for me to respect you and take my hat off to you and salute you and praise you, because you did something that I did not have to do, and I have to respect that. But he seems to not have the right respect for our veterans. You know, he raises a little bit of money for him, and he thinks that's all he has to do. But some of the things that come out of his mouth are disrespectful.
Well, James, 2 points that I would like to make. At one of his rallies, he had a person standing behind him with a Vietnam cap on, Vietnam War hero or some type of hat. And it was pointed out that that person was clearly too young to ever have served in the Vietnam War. So that was a plant that was there right behind him to his left shoulder. And the hat was clearly visible.
And so they strategically place that person there to make you think that Vietnam veterans were, as a whole, supporting him. And then the other point I want to bring to mind is that if he has such a disdainment for immigrants, that lets me know that his love is not sincere for his wife, because she too is an immigrant. So how can you dare say you would send someone back to another country, or you want they need to go back to another country, when the person you sleep with, when the person you join your body with, is from another country? Where is the sincerity there?
And the reality, I just saw on television this today, when it talked about how our country would nearly be in chaos if we were to send all immigrants, illegal immigrants, back, because those are the people who are picking the fruits and vegetables that we need to survive, and who are doing a lot of the work that Americans don't want to do. So our economy would be thrown in chaos if those people weren't available to work the fields in our country. So he's not being honest about even the fact that we could afford to send all of the illegal immigrants back in the first place. But you can hang on in there with me and stay on in there. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back. We've got a few other callers, and we're going to reach out and just have an honest conversation about where we are in this political climate. And can we afford to have someone elected to the President of the United States who's being compared to Adolf Hitler? We'll be back with you in a few minutes, and we'll continue our conversation.
Hello, I am Princess Cooper with the Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network, and you're listening to Thoughts, Love, and Reflections with host James Deshaies right here every Saturday at 8 p.m. Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
Who wants to add to the conversation? 6447, are you out there? Would you like to have a word? Can you give us your name and where you're calling from? 6447. Okay. We have another number out there. 3361, would you like to give us your name and where you're calling from? Excuse me, I'm sorry. 3361. 3361, are you out there? Three three eight one, are you there? Would you like to give us your name and where you're calling from? All right, we're going to continue our conversation on whether or not, you know, where we 3381, are you there? Okay. We want to just talk about where we are as a country. We find ourselves after 8 years of Barack Obama, when I think I could at least say in a sensible era. You know, he's taken us from a long way and brought us to this point where he turned things around and we feel comfortable. And I hope that we're not feeling so comfortable we don't have our eyes open to what's happening. And it's hard for me to believe that we could possibly be naive about the climate when it's talked about so much. Here we are, we are in a situation where we have a billionaire who's trying to hijack the GOP.
Mm-hmm.
He's literally trying to take control of the GOP and just snatch leadership away from those who are in charge, of those who have been long-standing leaders, and just propel his way into the White House. And nothing that he says or does seems to affect the people who are committed to him. I mean, when you say things like, I love the uneducated, what in the world, I mean, what kind of statement is, I love the uneducated? I mean, who wants to be labeled that way in the first place? And you suggest, you know, what are you doing for the uneducated? How are you, as a leader, going to take them from being uneducated to educated? So he's sitting there saying a group of people who are supporting him, he's calling them the uneducated. I mean, that's a very negative statement. And I can gun down somebody in New York City, and the people who support me are going to continue to support me. He seems to have no ability to control his mouth or his thoughts. There's no filter for the things that pop in his head. So how can I expect him to care about me as a minority when he is incapable of understanding the kind of things that would hurt anybody? What do you say about that, Regina?
Well, I guess I just feel that if indeed he loves the uneducated, the next question is why? And is he actually targeting this group of constituents? And he said that the uneducated are the ones who will not read. They will not study. They will not delve into finding out who he really is. So you have a whole population of people who are voting for him, who are rallying for him because he, quote, unquote, speaks the truth. And so they are rallying for him for that reason. And they're not researching to see whether this is truth or not. So that is why he loves the uneducated. And to be very honest with you, if I were running for an office and I have folk that are just following me just because, I'm going to love them too. And they would not have looked up my beliefs, my system, the things that I agree with, the things that I oppose. I'm going to love on those folk also because I wouldn't have to work as hard for those people. And unfortunately, it seems as if he's finding more and more uneducated folk as he goes across the country.
Well, Regina, you and I both have had long careers in education. Now, what kind of trouble would we get in if we were to broadcast to the world, we love the uneducated? Now, we may work to help people become educated, but we surely can't make a statement related to making it personal that anybody who supports or is a large part of our constituency is uneducated. I mean, we work to educate everybody. We don't want anybody to be uneducated or to be labeled in that fashion. So the fact that he would label a group of his constituents as uneducated is enough to disqualify him, because he doesn't have enough sense to know that that's not a positive label to place on anybody.
Well, James, let me put another spin on what you were just referring to. He can say that because he's not in the field of education. He can say that. What I cannot say and what I would not say is, I love these people out here that keep having babies because they keep me employed. You know, it's along the same lines. He's looking at who can help him get to where he needs to be, and there are things that you just do not say. And I, you know, an educator would be saying, these are the folk who are keeping me where I want to be. That's nothing to be said. My mom used to say, or an old folk used to say, what comes up don't have to come out. The first thing that comes to your mind does not have to come out of your mouth. And he has not learned that. That is where he is a dangerous man. He is a dangerous man to the United States worldwide. He cannot say what he does not like about Russia or what he's going to do to Russia, but he will. He cannot say what he's going to do to Mexico, but he did. Oh, they're going to build the blank, blank wall. And, you know, I'm going to build the wall and they're going to pay for it. What comes up comes out. He has no filter. He is a dangerous man. And I do not believe that the majority of the people in the United States will allow him to become president. I do not believe that. I do not believe he is going to be president. I believe that the monies are going to be thrown behind, even if it's the Democratic candidate, before they allow him. He may get the Republican nomination, but he will not get the White House. And I can guarantee you that.
I want to believe that too, Regina. I truly want to believe that it would be impossible for him to, I don't even want him to get the nomination, but it clearly looks like it's moving in that direction. But there's no way we could afford to allow him to be the president. I mean, he's already around the world. People are coming out and making statements related to him as a possible president. And the leadership in Mexico has already come out and said that he's a fool, that they're not going to build anything. And you have countries like England coming up debating whether or not they want him to even be allowed in their country. So here
exactly.
You have the leader of the free world who possibly will not be accepted by countries throughout the world. And that has never happened before, as I can remember. But certainly, it's why aren't the people here in America seeing the danger of him becoming president the way we so clearly see it? And I just think that it's incredible that, again, that the minorities are not standing up and being counted. And when I say minority, I mean women, Hispanics, I mean, they ought to be coming out in groves. The display of childishness in that last debate was just incredible. I mean, it was truly unprofessional. There is no way that educated people should be behaving in that fashion.
Well, that goes to show, is he truly educated?
Well, he certainly doesn't show it when he's around calling people stupid and incompetent and all the other foul and despicable names that he's used and some of the statements he's made. This man was on stage, and he suggested, look at my hand. I don't have a problem in that area. He associated my hands with another part of my body, and I don't have a problem in that area. I mean, can you imagine somebody on stage in America saying that? I mean, who would make that kind of suggestion?
Yes, he did say that. I remember.
Why would you invite us into your bedroom or underneath your clothes? Who does that?
Well, evidently someone that a large majority, I can promise you, someone that the Republican Party of South Carolina has representing them as their nominee. Now, what does that say for my state? It says that somebody went out and voted, and somebody did not.
But you do understand, Regina, if I would say something like that in my classroom, even though I didn't specifically say what the body part was, that they would have walked me out of my classroom?
They sure would.
If I would have talked underneath my clothes in that fashion, if some child would have said to me, oh, Mr. Shea got little hands, so he's a liar. And I said, I don't have no little hands, and something else on me ain't little either. I can guarantee you that. You believe, you know what I'm saying? But he said it on national TV.
Well, he is not being held to the same high standards that educators are being held to. And not only would an educator be reprimanded for that, but other folk would be reprimanded for that same behavior. You know, a doctor to say something like that, even a bus driver to say something like that to one of his bus riders, someone who collects our trash. If he were to say something like that to a customer, you know, everybody is held to a standard. But he is not being held to a standard. He's not being reprimanded. As you said, nobody's coming out to people are taking it as a joke. And while we're laughing, he's just riding on that donkey right on to the finish line, smiling and grinning, with that head hairpiece flopping in the wind, smiling and grinning, just riding on that donkey, laughing at us. And, you know, in the beginning, I really think that he was in it as a joke. And then he said, wait a minute. These people are going to actually let me win? Let me see how long I can ride this out. And that's what he's doing now. Riding it out on that donkey with that hairpiece flopping in the wind. And that's because we are not standing our ground. We're not. We're afraid. And that's sad.
And I don't see the leadership in the minority community making him accountable for the statements that he's making. We're just not. There should be an uproar of the same type of level that we were 8 years ago. We ought to be rising up and say, no, this is not going to happen.
Well, James, the question is, name a leader right off the top of your head. Name a leader. Name an African-American leader, national.
That's what I'm saying. We're quiet. There is no – I've not heard of one African-American leader who come out and just trounced him in regard to who he is as a candidate. Either they have muted us or we haven't made a statement. And not making a statement is not acceptable. We have to make our communities aware of what is coming, what the possibilities are, so that we can defend ourselves against those possibilities.
And again, I ask, name a national leader. You know, for years I was a member of the NAACP. I've gone to several conventions. And in the last, I'll say year, 2 years, I can't even right off the tip of my tongue tell you who the president, who the national CEO is, or who the president is of the organization. We're not coming out. We're not coming forward. And when those token leaders do come forward, the Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons, we have something negative to say about them coming forward. So the ones who don't come forward, they're hidden, and the ones who do, they're laughed at. So where are we in this country as far as taking a stance against something that's going to possibly set us back 100 years? I mean, you can have this radio program. I can do all of my community advocacy. But if folk are not listening, if they're not reading, if they're not understanding the ramifications, we are going to be lost. Can we discuss it in the school? Can we have debate, pro and con? We're even muted in the school. I remember we used to have debate. Do you remember that? And you'd have a group of people. We don't even do that now. Freedom of speech. All of these different things, silencing our progression. What is really going on?
Well, we definitely need someone to step up on a national level and tell all minorities that we have to rise up in defense of our rights. And it's amazing to me that you have two Cuban Americans who seemingly are walking lockstep with some of the same kinds of subjects. You know, Rubio and Cruz are the same way. I mean, they're fighting him, but certainly they support some of the same things that are wrong related to minorities, and they're both Cuban Americans. So it's hard to believe that they to support some of the same things he supports when they're totally against the minority population that they're from.
Well, James, I will say that it seems to me as though once I reflect on what's been going on in my state, it seems as though the efforts are being put behind getting Hillary elected instead of arguing the buffoonery of Donald Trump. The efforts are being placed there. We have our precinct meetings this coming Saturday. And in those precinct meetings for the Democrats, we're going to be trying to beat the bushes and get anybody out who will vote the Democratic ticket so that we can get Hillary in place, or so that it won't be a red state, you know, whether it's Bernie Sanders or Hillary. We still do not need a red state. We need our state to be blue. And that's the only way we're going to defeat Donald Trump, is to have blue states in place in order to defeat him as the Republican nominee. Now, Dre, let me ask you something. If he goes, now he can win the popular vote, but he has to still go before the Electoral College.
Right. There have been many presidents who have not won the popular vote, but who won the Electoral College vote. But I really believe that it doesn't even come to that. My God, I want Hillary to win both the popular vote and the Electoral College vote. So you're right. It is possible to win the popular vote and lose the election. But we don't even want it that close. We want him to lose both. And I think you're right. I think, you know, he is right now winning Florida in the polls. But I am counting on that he will not win in the general election. And so I'm hoping that he loses Michigan and Mississippi, but I have no idea I have not heard as of yet how he's doing. I know we're coming to the end of the day, so we're probably going to know pretty soon. But I hope he does not continue to win. At some point, the tide gets turned. But I don't care who wins on that side. I just hope that all minorities come out to vote and we'll make sure that Hillary Clinton is our next president, because that will continue us going in the right direction.
Well, I think it is incumbent upon us to push this information out via our websites, via our programs, and educate our people, educate the people who are listening as to why they should vote for, or what's the ramifications if they don't vote at all. What's going to happen? I was never so shocked as on February 20th when I saw so many people being hoodwinked who did not know that that was for the Republican primary and not the Democratic primary here in our state. And they were being hoodwinked into going to the polls to vote. Once they got into the voting booth and they did not see Hillary's name or Bernie Sanders, then they realized that they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. But they went ahead and voted anyway because they didn't want to seem unintelligent. That's what happened.
Well, does that mean that they won't be qualified to vote when it comes? But you already had to vote for the Democrat because Hillary won, right?
Right. We had, but they could not go the next week and vote.
Right.
So February 20th was the Republican, and the 27th was the Democratic. So once they voted on the 20th, they couldn't go back on the 27th.
Right.
But they did not declare.
She handily won South Carolina, right?
She won South Carolina on the 27th for the Democrats. And
by more than 20 points, right?
And Trump won that same, the 20th,
for the Republicans.
Well, you're right. We just have to continue to make our voices heard. We have to continue to pound the bushes and make sure that we get people out as much as possible in terms of the general election. And it's just incredible that we find ourselves in this situation. But, you know, we have to fight the GOP because they're the one that is creating the problem. So it is my thought that if somehow they can't control their party, then the Democratic Party is going to have to control the party for them.
Well, we also need to pay attention to the local elections also and the statewide elections, which here will be in June. And understand that when you vote locally, it's a trickle up, and that's how you get your leaders. That's how you get your people in Congress. That's how you get control of your Senate and your of your Congress by
right.
who you send there. So these local elections are more important, as we saw under President Obama. He had to use his executive right in order to get some things passed because he was not in control of the Congress. The Democrats didn't control the Congress. So our local elections are important.
Right. Well, I appreciate so much for you coming on and being on with me this evening. I always appreciate you being a part of the show, and I look forward to that continuing. And I just want to tell everybody out there, we'll be back with you again on Thursday at 6 o'clock. We look forward to you using Thoughts, Love, and Reflection as your vehicle to have your voices heard, and we need you to stay engaged, because this is a very important time in the history of America, and we can't allow it to be hijacked by somebody like Donald Trump. So this is James Deshaies coming to you on Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network, and I'll be back with you next Thursday, this coming Thursday, I'm sorry, at 6 o'clock. Take care and look forward to being talking with you in a couple of days.
In the past, my life has been inundated by those who truly didn't understand the term commitment. The connections would flourish and become entangled by daily life experiences. Quickly, that which seemed so promising turned barren. What has recently appeared before me to break all the rules of the past. I find myself waiting to overcome the next obstacle.